Welcome to Cashflow Positive. I'm your host, Kenny Bedwell, founder of SCR Insights, one of the leading data platforms in the industry. Through using data and analytics, I've been able to replace my W-2 with cash flow from my successful short-term rentals. And my goal is to help you achieve the same freedom and success. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just a novice looking to make your mark, Cashflow Positive is your go-to resource for unlocking the full potential of your property portfolio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Cashflow Positive. Kenny Bedwell here to talk about amenities today. So this is one of those episodes that, in my opinion, can be the make or break for you. And here is why. We all will come to a point in this game of short-term rentals where we will have to decide, should I add a particular amenity to my property? And then the second question we have with that is, how much is that actually going to make us? Because the reality is, not all amenities are made equal. And certain amenities can bring in more revenue than others. And frankly, certain amenities cost more than others. So what I'm going to talk with you today about is, how do you determine what amenities you should add? Now, one important lesson to be learned, and this is really, you know, if you listen to anything I've ever said, is anytime I say, you know, what you should add or what you should do, and then it always comes with a, it depends, right? Because it really does depend. It depends on your market. But more importantly, it depends on your guest avatar. So that's point number one I want to sit on for a second. So when you're sitting down and you're thinking about adding a particular amenity to your property that you think is going to add more revenue, okay, you need to think about your guest avatar. Now, taking a step back, before you dive into your guest avatar, I do want to be clear, because a lot of people think that adding particular amenities will automatically increase their revenue or maximize the revenue to the top. However, there is a difference between maximizing revenue amenities, for example, like a pool. A pool will naturally increase your revenue and take it from level down here to up here, right? That's a no-brainer. Whereas other amenities, maybe smaller amenities, think like EV chargers, think Xboxes, and maybe even arcade machines or books and kids' toys and things like that. Smaller things, right? And they could be a little more expensive or whatever, but they're not big game changers. They might sustain occupancy rather than boost revenue. So if you're in a very competitive market, okay, and you're trying and you're struggling to compete, and you're like, hey, well, should I add a particular amenity? I've already checked my pricing. I've already done listing optimization. And you go in and add an amenity, it's not necessarily there to just make your revenue go from, you know, 80,000 to 100,000. It might just be there to keep you at 80,000 and falling, because a lot of markets are seeing dips in revenue. So revenue sustainability can change per amenity. And we're going to talk about this more in detail, because that's really, really, really important. Because most people think, like, I add amenity, I should make more money. But that's not necessarily the case with the ebbs and flows in the market. It might keep you from losing money, but it might not make you more money than the year before, because you're an extremely competitive market and the market is softening in a lot of places, not everywhere. Okay, once again, this depends on your market, depends on where you're at. But the really, really competitive ones, when you add smaller amenities, it helps sustain occupancy or keep your occupancy stable year over year, rather than boosting occupancy, because there are revenue ceilings in each market per bedroom count. Most markets haven't hit their revenue ceiling yet. That's the advantage of being in a market where competition is really low. But if you're in a really, really competitive market, adding a smaller type of amenity, especially the ones I'm going to talk about, might not actually move the needle in terms of taking you to the next level of revenue, but it will keep you where you're at and get you a very, very solid revenue base. And that, I mean, that in alone is great, but just understand different amenity classes in different markets can either maximize revenue or sustain revenue. Okay. Now let's go back to the guest avatar again. There are really a bunch of different guest avatars, and it's going to depend on the market. It's going to depend on the property, right? The location of the property, the quality of the property, the look and the feel, the design in the property, the decor. Everybody should have an idea of who their common guest is. All right. And If you don't, the best way to do it, if you already have a property, you already have reviews, you're trying to figure out who my guest avatar truly is. I've been doing this for a while. Like, you know, who's really staying at my place? Copy your reviews. So go literally go into Airbnb or VRBO, copy all of your reviews, paste them in ChatGPT, and ask ChatGPT, what's the guest demographic like? Tell it to give you a profile. Where are people coming from? Who is coming to my place? What are their interests? What do they like? What do they don't like? Not necessarily like, oh, they said my place wasn't clean, or they said my place was clean. Cool. That's like a standard across entire, you know, country. That doesn't matter. What are they highlighting that they enjoy about your specific place? Now, if you don't have a property, or you're looking in a new market, or you have a new property, you don't have any reviews, what do? You go and you grab the top properties in that market of the same bedroom count. That's key, because different bedroom counts host different types of people, different group sizes, different demographics. Think about it. A one bedroom, two bedroom, that's a couple, okay? A small family. Three, four, fives, you're talking a family, maybe two. Then you get to six plus, your groups of people are staying there, right? And in every market, it's different. In the Bourbon Trail, a four or five bedroom, that's like a group of old people traveling to drink bourbon, right? But if you take that and you put that in the Smokies, or you put that in like Tahoe and these, I mean, it changes completely the demographics. You put this in Florida, it's families, right? So the demographic and who you're targeting is really, really important when you're trying to understand the types of amenities you should be adding to your property, okay? There's this common misconception too, where we say, great, I'm going to look at the top properties and I'm just going to add whatever they have and I'm good. That's a fine strategy. And I actually encourage that a lot of the times. But when you're thinking outside of the box, that's where you have to heavily lean towards your guest avatar. Okay. When you understand your guest avatar, you target the crap out of them. All right. You don't make vanilla generic crap. I can't tell you how many times people ask me to look at their listing. Beautiful listings. Beautiful. I mean, like literally perfect. Like, the best pictures, the best, you know, their pricing, they're actively engaged in their pricing. And they have to, because they're usually in very extremely competitive markets. But what I'm finding though is that I'm like, okay, wow, this is an amazing listing. Good job. And then I go to Airbnb and I type in their market and I look in their neighborhood and there's another amazing listing right next to them, and another one, and another one, and another one. And it's just like, I'm like, this is extremely competitive market. You know, and they're like, Kenny, what, I'm struggling to get bookings. What should I do? You know, and I'm looking at it and I'm like, you're in a tough market. Everybody's pristine. Not, you know, not everybody, but there's a lot of people who are at that high level who've already maximized pricing. They've already done listing optimization and now they've got all the top amenities. You know, what can you do? And what I'm finding though, is that a lot of those properties, they tend to match themselves in design and decor and even the amenities. And what ends up happening is they become vanilla. Even though if you take their listing and you plop it in some random market in the middle of Arkansas or Michigan or Ohio, wherever, you know, it would crush everybody in sight. But because of where it is, because of the competition, it's vanilla, it's basic, okay? Now, what can they do? The reality is they're not, if they're struggling, at least if they're not getting bookings, they are not targeting their guest avatar correctly. They're not calling to them specifically. They're like, well, Kenny, I host families with kids. Like, I have a nice, clean place. I have a pool. I have all this. Like, you have all that stuff, but so does your neighbor. So does his neighbor. So does everybody else in that market. The exact same stuff, exact same photographer. You know, it's like verbatim, right? You know, some realtor is just sitting there counting his dollars, because he just sold all these people into the same exact neighborhoods in the cookie cutter style places in these huge markets. And I'm not saying that, you know, you're in trouble and you should sell and get out. But what I'm saying is you need to think differently. Okay. Meaning like you need to go, great, if I'm targeting families with kids, what can I provide them that maybe my competition isn't, that would speak to them? And believe it or not, when you really start to understand your guest avatar, and you start thinking that way, ideas, different types of amenities will pop in your head that might not be thousands of dollars. They might be actually really relatively inexpensive. And once those ideas start coming, obviously you jot them down. But then the next key thing that I want you to do is understand marketing. So step number one of what amenities should I add? How do I add amenities? Understand your guest avatar, okay? Step number two, What you're going to do, and I'm going to show you some examples in step number two. I'm going to share my screen with you. And guys, like I said, this episode is probably the one of the most important ones because we were all faced this at some point in time. And so please watch this episode on YouTube because I'm going to be sharing my screen and sharing some really, really good insights with everyone here. So let's talk about marketing. So it's not enough for you to sit down and go, okay, I'm going to add an amenity and I'm going to check that box on Airbnb. Therefore, I'm going to make more money or I'm going to sustain occupancy. The reality is it's not just about checking the box on Airbnb. It's about marketing that amenity. 9 times out of 10, you are not marketing your current amenities that you have correctly, meaning you're not highlighting them. I can't tell you how many times people will highlight literally the living room or a bedroom or the kitchen or whatever on the first like 5 shots, like 2 times in a row. And it's like your first 5 photos should be the top 5 things to do at your property. I'm going to say that one more time because that's really, really important. And that's a change you can make right now, right after listening to this, is change your top 5 photos to be the top 5 reasons why someone should stay at your place. Why? Is it because you have everyone has a nice kitchen? Is it, who cares about that, right? Don't show me kitchens unless that's literally like the highlight of your property. And that's okay in certain markets, but like show your amenities, the pools, the water views, the mountain views, the, what, you know, like the amenities, hot tubs, things like that. Like I don't have a pool in my properties. Okay. So I show the hot tubs. I show the nice amenities. My city ones don't have hot tubs. Are you kidding? So I'm showing the nice, huge, spacious bedrooms, the luxurious bed, the linens, the, you know, murals, the design and decor, like all that stuff is highlighted first. And then I go into the tour of the property. But the first 5 photos, that is so key. You need the scroll stopper. And 9 times out of 10, it's your amenities that are your scroll stoppers, right? Highlighting the amenity with whatever else is going on in your market, whether it's views or not, it's usually views or some sort of water or something like that. So if you're in a city market, that's fine. Show clean, like the spaciousness, how clean it looks, luxury, like stuff like that. Like, those are the things that help people see why your place is great, okay? The average guest will look at about 13 photos before making their decision to book. 13 photos on average, okay? So that means that 60, 70 photos doesn't matter at all, okay? It's not a competition how many photos you have. It's showing those photos at the top 5. Grab their attention, lock them down, and then show them, and you got 13 really to show them your place. Now, don't take that as only need 13 photos because Kenny said that. Doesn't mean at all. I like to see about 40 to 50. Anything above that's like way too many, but 13 is really when they're going to make their decision. Okay, so let's actually look at some data real quick and talk about the amenity. So marketing. Talk about guest avatar and diving into marketing and highlight difference. So here are 2 properties here in the same market. One is lakefront, one is non-lakefront, okay? This property is actually smaller. This property is bigger. They both have hot tubs, right? What do we see in property number one? There's a girl. There's, you know, obviously she's like looking off. There's the sun coming over the hill. It's really, really pretty. It's amazing. It's actually a smaller hot tub. And then property number two, that's lakefront. It's a dark photo. The cover's on the hot tub. It looks ugly. Even though they both have a hot tub, property number one, which is smaller, not lakefront, has a smaller hot tub, makes $20,000 more, okay? Here's another property. This one is in Hollywood, Florida. So this is a pool property. This is a 4-bedroom pool property. The one on the left is about 1.5 miles from the beach. The one on the right is actually a block away from the beach, okay? And the one on the right actually has a nicer pool. The photo is a little bit blurry. The angle is really weird. It's obviously not professionally shot. And then the one on the left, professionally shot. It's got some outdoor landscaping lights, which are kind of nice. It just looks really clean. It's nothing crazy or special about it if you really look at it. They've got a dust shot there too. This property on the left, so the one with 1 mile away from the beach, the same size, just with the outdoor landscaping, just a better shot all around, makes $65,000 more. And these are their hero images for both properties. So looking at these 2 properties, we can see that highlighting the amenity is a scroll stopper and makes them $65,000 more. So before you think about adding any other amenities, ask yourself, am I highlighting, am I marketing my amenities appropriately? Third example. So I posted this in my Facebook group, the SCR Data Host. If you're not in that Facebook group, join it. But I want to highlight something super simple we should all do today, yeah, or the next time you're at your property. So I have a picture here of a kid's, I was with my family. We're traveling to Poconos. I was trying to book an Airbnb, and I was looking for ones that were very kid friendly. And it's not just like, oh, they check the boxes. Remember, I'm not looking at boxes. I'm looking at pictures, which is what most people do. And the place I booked had this image that I'm showing here of they've got the, oh my goodness. They have a pack and play. They have a booster seat, high chair. They've got all the silverware, the cups, the bibs, the dark, it's like a curtain that you stick up against the window. That's what I'm trying to say with the suction cups to block out the light. So not just shades, but like a black curtain to do. And it looks like a baby monitor, all this great stuff. And I was like, holy crap, I don't have to pack any of that. You know, like we're staying here. And honestly, it wasn't the nicest property in that area. It didn't have the nicest design and decor. It was decent, but it wasn't the best, you know, and didn't have all these things. And those other properties, they had nice things, but they didn't have this photo. And I had to hunt and dig and try to figure out what they had. And I was just like, I don't have time for this. This is everything I personally need. It speaks to me as a father of two young girls who need these things. I'm going to pick this place. And sure enough, they had these things and I didn't have to pack it. See, they spoke to me specifically. They didn't have the nicest place. They didn't have the fanciest stuff. And this is in the Poconos, where it's gotten really competitive and borderline saturated in a lot of these properties, right? We chose a 3-bedroom, which is one of the most saturated in the market. And I chose this property because they spoke to me with this one photo, marketing the amenities that they had in a better way. And they didn't put this at the end of their listing. They put it towards the beginning. Remember, first 13 photos. If you're speaking to families, especially families with young kids, that's the majority of your guests, you need to do this. You need to take this image right here and you need to post it. It needs to be probably in your top 10 at least. Okay. So looking and using those, going back here and back to the amenities again. So we talked about guest avatar. We talked about marketing. Let's wrap this up and talk about what actual amenities you can add that can help boost revenue. Now, I want to go back to talking about, and this episode is going to run over and I don't think anyone cares. So sorry for anybody who's like, oh, Kenny, it's over 15 minutes, but it's just really important because we got these decisions to make. So obvious amenities that maximize revenue. Remember at the beginning, we talked about maximizing and sustaining revenue. So let's talk about maximizing revenue. So pools, duh, hot tubs, duh, game rooms. Okay. And then family friendly. All right. Now, what do I mean by family friendly? So family friendly doesn't mean just the pack and play and booster seat. It means all the other things that come in between. The more family friendly you are in most markets where you're attracting family, remember, it depends on your guest avatar, this boosts revenue because you're speaking to the audience who's looking for more things. Having family friendly items actually increases, it's data proven to increase occupancy, which naturally increases revenue. Okay. You make most of your money in the high season. That's a given, right? But in the shoulder and off season is what sets you apart from the average in terms of revenue growth. So being family friendly, not just like checking the box of family friendly, but having those amenities we talked about earlier for family friendly will actually boost your occupancy if that's your guest avatar. If you're hosting couples, family friendly doesn't make sense. And you should lean more towards the hot tubs. If you're hosting, a bourbon trail people who are listening, I know you're listening. Family friendly is not your thing. Okay. Don't like you just ignore that out unless it is, unless you know that is your people, but most of the time it is. So game rooms and hot tubs are going to be more beneficial for you. Fire pits is another big one too. Updating and making the fire pits better, providing the better experience, highlighting the experience. But more importantly, that episode I did with Elizabeth, it was like the second week. Go back and listen to that one and how specific she got in targeting her guest audience, her guest avatar with the pet friendly thing. I think that was a beautiful example of something we can do to get it to separate ourselves from the competition while remaining having an average property. You really don't have to have a quote unquote super property to beat out everybody else. You just have to be different and target your guest avatar the right way. Okay. Let's talk about amenities that are sustain occupancy. Okay. So these aren't necessarily things that are going to just blow up. I guess I have mod pools on there. That one's debatable, but we'll get to that one in a second. So these are amenities that will help you keep current occupancy in very competitive markets. Now, if you're in a market where nobody has these things, yeah, it could help maximize revenue and increase revenue for you, but it's not going to be this like game changer. So putting greens. Okay. if I'm in Scottsdale, Arizona, if I'm in the Smokies right now too, to be honest, if I'm in even Myrtle Beach, these have become pretty common, especially like a Scottsdale, right? So if you don't have that and you're in one of these very competitive markets, everybody else has it, you got to get it, right? And it's not going to make you more money. It's just going to keep you level, okay? Golf simulators. I personally haven't seen them make people that much money yet. The data is not conclusive yet, so I'll give that one a fair shot, but it's not this like, hey, you're gonna maximize and take your revenue to the next level, which tells me it's more of a sustaining amenities or substantial or sustaining. I don't know. Pick one of those words. barrel saunas. Once again, adding the barrel sauna in certain markets, and really, frankly, most markets, isn't going to increase your revenue. It's going to help maintain your revenue, okay, against competition, right? Someone's not going to look at your place and go, well, they have the barrel sauna and the other people don't. That's why I'm going to book your place. They're going to book your place with a barrel sauna that highlights the view because they can exceed the experience, right? So barrel saunas aren't necessarily revenue drivers like pools and hot tubs and other big revenue drivers. And frankly, the big revenue drivers, Airbnb tells you that. They're filters, right? You go in the filters and it tells you, hey, search, your guests can search for these certain ones. And barrel saunas, I don't think barrel saunas are even in there. And if they are, if I'm mistaken, that's totally fine, but it's just not heavily searched like some of the other amenities, okay? Doesn't mean it's wrong to add. And in certain markets like the Poconos, I mean, even the Poconos, you just have to have a sauna. It's not even like, oh, it's going to make you more money. It's going to sustain your occupancy rate, okay? It's a good thing to have, but it's not a maximizing thing, all right? I have mod pools on here. That one is very, very debatable. If you're in a market that has pools, a mod pool, like everybody has a mod pool isn't going to just make you more money, okay? It's cool. It looks good. It's going to sustain occupancy. But the reality is, in most other markets where not everybody has a pool, a mod pool could be arguably maximize revenue. Okay. Do your due diligence on mod pools. I've heard good and bad things about specific companies, so keep that in mind. But if you're looking for something unique and nobody has these mod pools, that's going to maximize revenue. So it could fall into both camps. Pool floaties are outdoor games. Okay. Think of the big chess. Think of the cornhole. Think of the even sand volleyball, some of these basic things, the little games and stuff. You got to have them. Is that, are these, if you add these things, are they going to make more money for you? Probably not. Okay. But they're going to sustain your occupancy and they're going to keep you ahead of the competition. Meaning like you're not going to dip when they dip. Right. And if you're in markets where a lot of people don't have these things, maybe it helps you in revenue. It's going to be the differentiator, right? Meaning your place gets booked before everybody else. It's not a maximizer. It's just, I need to come up with a better word for that, but it sustains, right? So we're really looking for, and that's okay, guys. This is something really important. I added a theater room to my property, okay? In a market where no one else has a theater room. The decision I had to make was, is this going to help me maximize my revenue or sustain my revenue? Meaning keep my occupancy at a high rate like it was last year and the year before. And the answer is sustain, okay? Even though nobody else in my market has a theater room, the reality is, is my ADR improving because I have a theater room? The answer is no. Okay. It's not, but I am getting booked more consistently and more consistently than my competition, not necessarily more consistently than I was the year before, but more, my occupancy rate has actually stayed about the same. My ADR has stayed the same because of the theater room, which is great. Now, when I added a hot tub, on the other hand, that made my seasonality change. It extended my shoulder season and it made me get more bookings, increased my occupancy rate in the wintertime because I now had something that, oh, wow, yeah, I want to stay in a hot tub like during the wintertime. And that, because it's actually a seasonal amenity. People don't stay in hot tubs in the middle of summer. It's too dang hot, right? So it's a seasonal amenity and it boosted my revenue. So I added the hot tub and then I went in later and added the theater room. And the theater room has helped me maintain occupancy and set me apart from everybody else to be that differentiator, but it doesn't increase my ADR. When you firmly grasp that concept, that will help you make the decisions you need to make in order to compete in your market. The reality is, I'm going to wrap this one up here. The reality is you're going to have to make these decisions. You're all like to compete, to be better, to grow your business. we're going to always have to improve and add things to our property. Okay. Number one, if you're searching for a property, you want to find a property where you can add things in the future, because if you can't, then you're stuck and you're going to have to sell eventually. Right. Which, sure, that might be the plan anyway, but we don't necessarily want to just vote like, oh, I'm going to sell this and make a bunch of money in the future. Like, we don't know when you're going to sell it, and you're betting on the future. We don't want to do that. Okay. No one has a crystal ball. We want to cash flow today. So if you're looking at a property, but if you already have a short-term rental, which most of you listening probably do, then focus on your guest avatar, look at how you can market the current amenities that you have, and then understand the difference between amenities that increase revenue and amenities that maintain occupancy. Okay. That, and it's not necessarily one or the other, do both. Okay. That's what I'm trying to say. It's like I did, I added the hot tub, but then I also threw in the theater room, because the theater room, sure, the hot tub is going to increase revenue, but the theater room is going to help differentiate me from everybody else. So I get booked first, or most likely to be booked first. And that's what attracts, but it doesn't impact my ADR. So it's occupancy driven, and then there's ADR driven. And you don't always have to focus on ADR driven to help with your revenue, to help maintain occupancy. So I hope this was really valuable. The part two episode, I've got an amazing guest, data driven. She's going to come on here and share amenities and theming and designing and like all this really good information to help you understand what you can specifically do for your property. And she's going to tell you your steps, and you're going to find some correlations to what I just said and to what she's going to say too. So I look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Remember to check this episode on YouTube. And guys, man, I can't echo this many, many times. The free event coming out in August 16th and 17th. If you haven't registered, please register. Come on, just go ahead and register. It's 100% free. It's the STR Scale Summit. Go to strscalesummit.com. You'll see all the speakers. It's going to be amazing. There are zero sales pitches, none of that crap. I've vetted every single speaker's stuff. I've made sure they've given me summaries. I've had to critique a lot of it, and that's fine. I want to make it perfect for you guys. I want all of you to be there, because the goal is to help you cash. So we're going to talk about finding all the way down to operations and marketing and tech stacks and design, decor, even amenities. Okay. So like all, if you found value in what I've said today, you're going to find a ton of value by coming to the event. And so please, please, please go to strscalesummit.com for the sake of your SCR business, if you want a successful portfolio, and register today for free. Anyway, I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode. I guess I hope that this, you guys found value in it. And if you have, please, please, please leave me a review. I love that. 5 stars, if you don't mind. And then share this with a friend. If you know a friend who is either struggling or looking to grow their business, share this podcast, especially this episode. This is a big one. And just help a friend out, right? So anyway, I'll see you guys on the next episode.